Wanting Mr. Kane has taken the romance world by storm, becoming a TikTok sensation with over 50 million views under its hashtag. This provocative age gap romance by Shanora Williams explores the dangerous territory of forbidden desire between a young woman and her father's best friend. The novel has garnered attention from celebrities like Megan Fox, who was spotted carrying it on vacation, and has been praised for its unflinching portrayal of complex emotions and taboo attraction. What makes this book particularly compelling is how it forces readers to confront uncomfortable questions about love, loyalty, and the sometimes destructive nature of desire. In a literary landscape increasingly interested in morally complex relationships, Wanting Mr. Kane stands out as a daring exploration of what happens when the heart wants what it shouldn't have. 9-year-old Candy first meets Quentin Kane when he arrives at her home in a shiny black car. Tall, tanned, and tattooed, with "ascend" prominently inked on his skin, he initially frightens her with his gruff response when she scolds him for smoking. Alarmed, she runs inside to alert her police officer father about the stranger. To her surprise, her father greets the visitor warmly, calling him Kane and laughing about the situation. Kane enters their home, offering wine to her parents and chocolates to Candy. This first encounter plants the seeds of Candy's confusing feelings for Kane. Though she's too young to understand, she develops what she later recognizes as a crush on him. The dynamic established in this first meeting, Kane as the slightly dangerous but intriguing family friend, sets the stage for their future relationship. From Kane's perspective, we learn that he values his friendship with Derek Jennings deeply. After an 8-month absence, he appreciates reconnecting with Derek's family, including his wife Mindy and daughter Candy. During dinner, he learns the origin of Candy's name. She was named after a nurse who saved her life when she was choking as a newborn. Noticing how the young girl avoids looking at him directly, Kane playfully winks at her when she does glance his way. He resolves to visit the Jennings more frequently, cherishing the sense of belonging he feels with them, a feeling that becomes increasingly significant as we learn more about his troubled background. These early interactions establish the foundation of a relationship that will evolve dramatically as Candy matures, creating a complex web of emotions, loyalty, and forbidden desire that neither character fully anticipates. Through diary entries spanning several years, we witness Candy's evolution from a child with an innocent crush to a young woman harboring deeper feelings for Kane. The entries reveal her internal struggle as she recognizes the inappropriateness of her attraction while being unable to suppress it. As a teenager, Candy experiences jealousy when Kane begins dating Kelly. During a car ride, Kane confronts her directly about this jealousy, telling her he's noticed her little crush. Though Candy initially denies it, the tension between them is palpable. When he takes her to a seafood restaurant in Atlanta, they share a pleasant meal together. Their conversation turns personal when Kane inquires about the boy Candy has been texting, information her mother had shared with him. Candy mentions Carl Ridley, a football player she doesn't take seriously, and reveals she's already on birth control. Throughout dinner, meaningful glances pass between them, creating moments of connection and tension. However, their time together is cut short when Kelly calls, requiring Kane to leave. Candy tries to hide her disappointment, but it's evident in her behavior. Back home, she writes in her diary about the encounter, finally admitting to herself that she doesn't merely have a crush on Kane. She's fallen in love with him, and it hurts to want a man she can't have. In subsequent diary entries, Candy confesses her pain, knowing that to Kane, she's just his best friend's daughter. She laments that her heart yearns for something wrong, admitting to crying before writing. Despite these complicated feelings, she appreciates everything Kane does for her family. When he surprises her with Atlanta Braves caps and invites her and her father to a game in a private suite, she's ecstatic but tries to mask her excitement. These formative years shape Candy's understanding of love and desire, setting the stage for the more complex interactions that will follow as she approaches adulthood and the boundaries between them begin to blur. As Candy grows older, Kane's presence in her life becomes increasingly significant. During the baseball game in the private suite, she observes him interacting charismatically with his employees, giving her more reasons to admire him. While her father focuses on the game, Kane sits beside her, making her heart race. They discuss his company, including his adult line and modeling agency, leading to an awkward moment when Candy mentions buying lingerie. Kane congratulates Candy on her softball scholarship, revealing that he organized the outing specifically to celebrate her achievement. When she asks why he never brings his own family on these outings, he becomes visibly uncomfortable before changing the subject, offering to give her a better going-away present than his usual chocolates and notebooks. This pattern of generosity continues when Candy surprises Candy with a MacBook she had been wanting. When she calls to thank him, he insists that he still wants to give her an additional farewell gift. Candy reflects on Can's generosity and wonders what he might be trying to compensate for in his life, noting that he never talks about his family. Kane's attendance at Candy's high school graduation further cements their special bond. Despite telling her he might not be able to attend due to business in San Diego, he surprises everyone by appearing elegantly dressed. Candy is moved when he tells her he wouldn't have missed her graduation for anything in the world. During the celebration dinner, she notices that Can doesn't check his phone once, making her special day his priority, which fills her with happiness. These moments of connection and generosity reveal the depth of their relationship beyond mere attraction. Kane's consistent presence at significant moments in Candy's life and his thoughtful gifts demonstrate genuine care, complicating their dynamic and adding emotional weight to their forbidden attraction. The trajectory of Candy and Kane's relationship changes dramatically when Candy's father is shot and hospitalized. During this crisis, Kane steps in to support the family, staying with Candy while her mother remains at the hospital. This situation creates an intimate environment where their long-suppressed feelings finally surface. While sharing a vulnerable conversation about Kane's past, he reveals how he met Derek when Candy's father saved Kane's mother from domestic violence. The emotional intensity between them escalates. Kane offers Candy whiskey to calm her nerves, creating a moment of vulnerability. When he embraces her for comfort, Candy can't resist and attempts to kiss him. Despite his initial resistance, she touches his arousal through his pants, ignoring his warnings to stop. The sexual tension between them finally explodes when Candy kisses him and climbs onto his lap. What follows is their first sexual encounter, though not intercourse. Kane pleasures Candy with his fingers while holding her neck, bringing her to orgasm. He confesses that she excites him, despite hating himself for it. Although Candy is aware that the moment is inappropriate with her father in the hospital, she can't resist, seeing their contact as an escape from painful reality. After her climax, Kane's mood shifts abruptly. He declares that he's made a mistake and that this can never happen again, citing the age difference and his relationship with her father. He leaves Candy alone in the dark, filled with regret for having realized a dream that now feels like a nightmare. She fears that everything between them has changed forever. From Kane's perspective, we see his internal conflict. He retreats to his room, tormented by what just happened with Candy. He acknowledges that she's too young and Derek's daughter, who would murder him if he knew. Yet he can't stop thinking about how responsive she was to his touch, imagining taking things further. He realizes he's always been aware of her attraction, her teasing and glances were evident, but never considered it relevant until now. This breaking point marks a fundamental shift in their relationship, moving them from unspoken attraction to explicit desire, with all the complications and guilt that entails. The aftermath of their first intimate encounter leaves both Candy and Kane struggling with guilt and desire. Candy tries to forget what happened, repeating "forget, forget, forget" to herself, while forcing smiles during their interactions. When Kane needs to leave for a business meeting about Temp's new factory in Canada, he promises to return. As he departs, he calls her Candy Kane, a nickname that now carries deeper significance. Candy reflects that they've ignited an inextinguishable fire that could consume and destroy them both. When Candy's father awakens at midnight, the doctor recommends 3 more days in the hospital. When her father calls Kane to thank him for taking care of Candy, the conversation causes her discomfort. The next day, Kane appears with Kelly and flowers, devastating Candy. She confronts him about bringing Kelly at this moment, but he reprimands her. Observing the interaction between Kane and Kelly, Candy wonders if they spent the night together. Despite this, she notices Kane's hungry look, confirming he still desires her regardless of the consequences and realities separating them. During her father's month-long recovery, Kane visits only twice, without Kelly. On his second visit, while waiting for Candy's parents to return from therapy, they find themselves alone again. Despite Kane's initial objections about her being a child, he eventually yields when she kisses him and initiates oral sex. This encounter establishes a new dynamic in their relationship, with Kane demanding exclusivity, ordering Candy to end any other relationships she might have. Meanwhile, Kane struggles with his relationship with Kelly, recognizing she deserves better. He admits not giving her his full attention, often forgetting to message or call due to work. When Kelly suggests accompanying him on the trip to Destin, he initially resists, concerned about his promise to Candy. Kelly argues that the vacation would be the perfect opportunity to deepen their relationship without work interruptions. Torn between his desire for Candy and his obligation to Kelly, Kane finally yields, saying he'll consider taking her along. This period of navigating the aftermath reveals the complex web of relationships and obligations that both Candy and Kane must manage as their forbidden attraction deepens.
The beach vacation to Destin becomes a crucible for the complex relationships between Candy, Kane, and Kelly. Candy is deeply frustrated to discover that Kelly has joined them despite Kane's suggestion that she wouldn't be coming. On the private jet, Candy deliberately avoids Candy and Kelly, sitting with her friend Frankie instead. She can't help noticing how Kelly leans close to Kane, whispering things that make him smile, leaving Candy feeling confused and betrayed after Kane had told her to save her lips for him. When Frankie catches Candy and Kane kissing on the veranda, Candy confesses everything to her friend, the incident the night her father was shot, and their subsequent encounters. Rather than judging her, Frankie is supportive and suggests that Kane might have brought Kelly along to prevent them from being alone together. This perspective helps Candy see the situation differently. Deciding to be more friendly toward Kelly, Candy joins her and her mother for shopping the next day. During this outing, she begins to see Kelly in a new light, realizing that Kelly is constantly trying to please everyone. After 3 hours of shopping, Candy feels guilty for having been rude to Kelly, who just wanted to fit in. She reflects that Kane could never make her his girlfriend or wife as he did with Kelly, and that she doesn't want to hurt her parents. When they're alone in the food court, Kelly shares personal details about her life as an interior designer, revealing that she's worked for celebrities like Adele. She expresses a desire to be friends with Candy and tells her how she met Kane at a bachelorette party in Charlotte, where she spilled drinks and he helped her, offering a clean shirt when hers became transparent. Kelly admits that she loves Kane and is beginning to fall in love with him, though she doesn't believe he feels the same. When Candy asks why she stays with someone who doesn't reciprocate her love, Kelly responds that Kane is complex, with many layers, and that she's patient. This shopping trip creates an unexpected bond between Candy and Kelly, adding another layer of complexity to the already complicated situation. Kane is surprised to see them returning home laughing together, having doubted they could become friends. When alone with Kelly, she explains that the shopping marathon won Candy over. Kane remains concerned, suspecting that Candy might be getting close to Kelly just to irritate him. The beach trip serves as a turning point, revealing new dimensions to all three characters and shifting the dynamics of their relationships in unexpected ways. Kane is surprised to see them returning home laughing together, having doubted they could become friends. When alone with Kelly, she explains that the shopping marathon won Candy over. Kane remains concerned, suspecting that Candy might be getting close to Kelly just to irritate him. As Candy's departure for college approaches, the complex dynamic between her and Kane reaches a critical point. After an emotionally charged conversation in the home theater, they discuss their inappropriate relationship. Kane acknowledges his feelings, but explains that their age difference and his loyalty to her father make any relationship impossible. A close encounter with Candy's mother forces them to recognize the unsustainable nature of their situation. For 3 days, they maintain their distance, minimizing interactions. During this time, Candy and Kelly develop an unexpected friendship. On the return flight, Candy notices tension between Kane and Kelly, who sit separately. Upon arrival, Kelly announces her departure. From the window, Candy observes their final conversation before Kelly leaves in a rideshare, clearly distressed. A week after the beach trip, Kane loses contact with Kelly while traveling for business meetings in Boston and Washington. During lunch, Derek reveals Kelly's withdrawal from social invitations, believing Kane wanted space after their breakup. When Derek suggests Kane should be more open if he loves Kelly, Kane admits his feelings were never that deep. The situation culminates when Kane invites Candy to his lake house in North Carolina for a final weekend together. He sets clear boundaries. After this, we move forward separately. His primary concern remains protecting her future and maintaining his friendship with her father. Candy agrees to these terms, accepting that they must transition to a platonic relationship. At the lake house, Kane shares personal revelations about his troubled past. He discusses his father's incarceration and his decision to cut contact, explaining, "Some family bonds can't be repaired after childhood trauma." Their time together is marked by emotional intimacy and vulnerability. They acknowledge the impossibility of their situation through honest conversation. "Why did fate bring us together like this?" Kane reflects thoughtfully. "And why couldn't circumstances be different?" Candy responds, expressing their shared struggle with their feelings. As dawn approaches, Kane contemplates their connection, which evolved from innocence to complexity. He recognizes that Candy deserves a different future, and that their weekend marks the end of their romantic involvement. His loyalty to Derek, whom he considers family, takes precedence. He knows that college and time will create natural distance, allowing Candy to find more appropriate relationships. This final weekend represents both the height of their emotional connection and their mature acceptance that their paths must diverge, a bittersweet conclusion to an impossible situation. The aftermath of Candy and Kane's lake house weekend brings unexpected complications and heartbreak. For a week after their time together, Kane sends Candy sweet messages daily until they suddenly stop. After 3 days of silence, Candy messages asking if he's okay. She sees that he begins typing a response, but nothing arrives. Days later, Candy learns that Kane will be coming to dinner just 2 days before she leaves for college. Excited, she chooses a soft pink dress that flatters her figure. When he arrives, she immediately senses something is wrong. His eyes are hard and distant. Then she sees why. Kelly is with him, stunning in a red dress. Candy's heart sinks as she struggles to contain her tears. Managing to get a moment alone with Kane outside, Candy confronts him about ignoring her and bringing Kelly. He coldly tells her to move on and leaves her standing there. Later, Kelly finds Candy in her bedroom and reveals that she discovered their affair after finding Candy's underwear in Kane's bag. She threatens to tell Candy's parents everything if she doesn't stay away from Kane, warning that this would destroy her family and Kane's career. Needing answers before leaving Georgia, Candy goes to Kane's office. Ignoring the receptionist, she heads to the 15th floor and finds him alone. Upon seeing him, she runs into his arms, asking why he abandoned her and what Kelly has over him. "You don't want to know," he responds with guilty eyes. Begging for one last time together, they surrender to their passion in his office. During their intimate encounter, he confesses, "Never think I don't love you. I fucking love you, Candy. I love you more than words." Afterward, as she dresses to leave, he pleads with her not to forget him, wanting to take her to dinner. She refuses, knowing she needs to move on. With a broken heart, she leaves his office with the painful certainty that Kane and I no longer existed. What neither of them knows is that Kelly has been monitoring them, Having suspected their relationship for some time, she planted microphones and cameras in Kane's office under the guise of redesigning the space. "I did what my mother taught me. I bugged Kane's office," she reveals in her prospective chapter, explaining how she installed hidden devices in the lamps to watch everything without his knowledge. The story reaches its dramatic climax when Derek discovers Kane's relationship with Candy. During a crucial business party where Kane is trying to secure a deal with Mr. Zhang to open a Tempt warehouse in Tokyo, Derek arrives visibly drunk and distraught. Furious, he grabs Kane by the neck, pressing a gun against his head, calling him a traitor for getting involved with his daughter. When Kane tries to explain, Derek knocks him unconscious with a punch. This explosive ending leaves all the characters' futures hanging in the balance, with betrayal, blackmail, and broken hearts threatening to destroy the relationships they've built over years. Wanting Mr. Kane presents a compelling exploration of forbidden desire and its consequences. Through the evolving relationship between Candy and Kane, we witness how attraction can develop from an innocent childhood crush into a complex adult relationship fraught with ethical dilemmas and painful choices. The novel doesn't shy away from the moral complexities of their situation. Both characters recognize the wrongness of their actions, particularly the betrayal of Derek, who has been both a father figure to Kane and Candy's loving father. Yet they find themselves unable to resist their feelings, creating a tension between desire and duty that drives the narrative forward. What makes this story particularly nuanced is how it refuses to paint any character as wholly good or bad. Kane struggles with his troubled past and his loyalty to Derek, who once saved his family. Candy navigates the transition from adolescence to adulthood, experiencing intense emotions she doesn't fully understand how to manage. Even Kelly, initially presented as an obstacle, reveals layers of vulnerability and determination that make her more than a simple antagonist. The power dynamics at play, the age difference, Kane's connection to Candy's family, his wealth and status, add further complexity to their relationship. These elements force readers to question where the boundaries of consent and responsibility lie, especially as Candy matures and actively pursues Kane. Throughout the narrative, the characters make choices that hurt themselves and others, driven by desire, fear, jealousy, and love. These choices create a tangled web of secrets and lies that ultimately explodes in the dramatic confrontation between Derek and Kane. By ending with this confrontation and the promise of a sequel, the novel leaves readers to contemplate the far-reaching consequences of forbidden desire, not just for the lovers themselves, but for everyone connected to them. It raises profound questions about whether some forms of love are worth the pain they cause, and whether betrayal can ever be forgiven when it strikes at the heart of family and friendship. In this way, Wanting Mr. Kane transcends the typical forbidden romance formula to become a meditation on how desire can both fulfill us and destroy us, sometimes simultaneously, leaving us to wonder if the heart's wants can ever truly be reconciled with our moral obligations to others.